your cleats in.
Line drive sailing away from Mullins. Oh! An impossible catch. Oh, my goodness.
This is the Hot Corner with Patrick Harris and Joe Fisher.
What did I do wrong? What did I see wrong?
Covering all things baseball, the big leagues, and the MLB to Portland.
And there's another rocket. Mike Trout has tied it up with an absolute bomb to the top of the facade in left center field. Talk about Stanton territory. Trout hammers it, and it's 4-4, 473 feet.
Now, here are your hosts, Patrick Harris and Joe Fisher on 1080 The Fan.
Welcome into the Hot Corner, for it must be a Tuesday, as it always is around here. Patrick Harris with you, Joe Fisher to my left, and Schultzy on the ones and twos.
Let's go. The gang's all back together again.
Yeah. We are here. We are ready to rumble.
Well, boy, some of us are ready.
I am not ready.
You are flustered, bamboozled over there.
I know. I usually grab it. It sits in my glove box. Is my
Your gun.
My microphone condom. And inside the microphone condom is my headphones.
Ah.
And
your iPod headphones that lasted longer than my Bose.
Somehow.
I'm shocked. It's been almost 10 years of doing this show. And somehow, some way, your iPod headphones outlasted mine.
Now, they're not great. Those headphones aren't great.
They're sturdy. They're reliable.
But they still work. I've been asking. So I've got my wife, my in-laws, my parents. They say, hey, can we get like a list of gifts you want for Christmas, your birthday, etc.? So I've got this Excel spreadsheet, basically. It's not really a spreadsheet. It's just a list of like things that I want. I have been asking for non-Bluetooth wired headphones for radio for years.
Oh, good luck.
And nobody will buy them for me because they're like, wow, what a lame gift.
I'll buy them for you.
And it's like, well, if you give me these sweet pair that Joe wears right now, then yeah, I could hear it. Right now, I can't hear Schultzy.
Well, you just gave up.
Because I can't hear anything out of them.
Oh, I don't know what to tell you. They were working fine just 5-10 minutes ago for my buddy, so I don't know what to tell you on that one.
Well, I probably need some.
And actually, it does say on the headband that only the left headphone works.
But I'll try it.
An Odyssey headphone. Yeah. Hello? Check 1, 2. Sibilance.
Ooh, I can hear Joe in my left. Oh, wow. There you go. I am so loud in it.
There you go.
But that's because it's an old set of one-eared headphones.
We're rocking and rolling.
I just heard Schultzy.
Hey, yeah. You're good. You're good to go. Right,
I will say the nice headphones, though, that Joe are wearing, those are the ones on my Amazon wish list as well. They're very, very soft.
I am not going to be buying these for you.
What is it with, like, someone says, what would you like for Christmas or your birthday? And I give you a list. I've given this list. Most of them are the same. I want a terrarium the size of, like, a basketball.
Like, just to grow some plants?
Yeah, like, yeah. Have something that, like, is decorative, aesthetically pleasing.
Little bugs in there and
yeah,
stuff?
Yeah, yeah. With, like, some succulents or some other things like that. And then I want to, like, set up a scene from, like, Star Wars in it.
How was the ayahuasca out of Dave?
Yeah. Dude, Aaron Rodgers and me are homeboys.
Let's go.
I've been asking for that for years, and nobody will buy it for me.
But I'm on Apple's website.
I need new headphones. And nobody, because they've looked at my list and said, that's a lame gift.
Apple's website, $19 for ear pods with the 3.5 millimeter headphone jack. They don't have $19 to spare that they can't pull out of their piggy banks for you.
But I want something nice like what you got.
No, you need these. They'll last for another 10 years.
Well, I don't need those because my current ones.
You're fine. You've never needed anything else than this.
You have to remember that buying gifts for people is about what makes them happy.
It's true.
Not what makes you happy.
Yes.
I feel like they look at my list And they're like, Patrick wants a 1974 Pioneer tape deck. That sounds so lame. If I opened a gift and inside of that was a 1974 Pioneer tape deck, I would lose my S. I would absolutely lose it. It would be the greatest gift anyone ever got me. But they're like, nah, that sounds lame to me because I don't want a 1974 Pioneer tape deck.
Yeah, so they'll get you their dream, which was like a Power Rangers Megazord from like 1992. Like, see? And you're like, I don't care about this.
Now, that sounds intriguing. Well, I think I'm adding that to my wish list.
I would want one of those too. But let me just brag for a second that like my wife will even come here and say this. Like, I am probably the best gift giver ever because I give you things that you will use, like something that you will like, but something you will also use. I always pick up hints throughout the year of things she needs and I'll kind of take notes and she'll get something Christmas Day that she didn't even know she needed. It's great. So, but props to myself, but like I would recommend, you know, just kind of take those notes of your cigos, or if you're struggling to be a good gift giver, there's a tip for you.
Just remember, being a great gift giver is to give a gift that makes them excited.
Exactly.
Not a gift that makes you excited.
Yeah.
Looking at some Bose headphones right now, $350 is the lowest.
You need like an audio ohm, like 150 pair. Like.
It's Jordan Schultz's birthday, and here's what I've decided. Jordan Schultz's birthday, and he, for his birthday, would do anything for a Seattle Mariner playoff berth.
Damn right.
And what I've decided to give him for his birthday is a Cleveland Indians playoff berth, because that makes me feel good. Well, I'm like, well, this is great. Jordan loves baseball. He watches baseball every day. He's got a podcast. He's working on some extracurriculars with baseball. So he's going to love this because my team is going in, and so I'll give that to him. No, that's absolute garbage. You should give him what he wants. If the Mariners make the playoffs, I don't care, but it makes him the happiest person in the world. That is a gift. By the way, Jordan, I cannot give you that gift.
I know.
I would love to.
The Mariners
cannot
give you that gift.
They are not going to let us
have
that
gift. They're up 2-0 right now, all right?
The lead down to what? 4.5 games at this moment in time?
3 in the wild card. Yeah. They're looking at wild card right now.
I believe the Tigers are also 3 back.
And the Red Sox.
My Tigers.
What up? What up? I want to talk about the Tigers later today.
Unreal. Unreal. Well, have your kids fork over $350 and you'll be like me over here.
I can't.
Look, rocking some Bose A's.
I can't. Yesterday was my son's birthday. Friday is my oldest's birthday. My wife's birthday was on the 31st.
Oh, wow.
My father-in-law is in like 2 weeks. Like, September sucks.
You don't need to get your father-in-law anything.
That's the truth.
Yeah, that's up to your wife, man. That's not your job.
I know.
Yeah.
You don't need to get
that guy's
anything.
Got everything he needs.
He's good. All
right. Oh,
he's,
rich guy. He's kosh. Got it.
He's kosh. He doesn't need anything, but I still got to buy him a gift.
Buy him a tie. I bet you he'd like a tie. He seems like a guy that would like a tie.
Yeah, one tie to put in his rotation of 30.
Yes, or a tie clip, perhaps.
Ooh.
Yeah, see? Or some cufflinks. Seems like a cufflink kind
of
guy.
My brother-in-law, one of my wife's brothers, she has two, he always sends me a gift for Christmas, and it's like a wallet or a watch. And I don't know how to tell him that I don't carry a wallet and I don't wear a watch.
A gun rack? A gun rack.
A gun rack for the back of the truck? Like, let's go. I mean, I got a gun. I got some debate on the TV behind me by like some failed businessman who's a pedophile next to a cop. Like, I don't know what to tell you. I don't need a wallet and I don't need a watch.
That is such a 1970s or 80s gift, isn't it? God, that's so old.
Because they think like, oh, your wallet's diminishing. Just never thought to buy a new one because the one in your pocket you're used to and you never give it up. And it's like, no. I don't carry a wallet, literally. For the YouTube kids, where are you? My wallet is attached to my phone.
I think I've had the same wallet for 10 years, at least.
So then your brother-in-law says, Joe needs a new wallet.
I'd be kind of pissed if anybody got me a new wallet. I'd be
really?
Like, didn't ask for one.
That's disrespecting my current wallet.
Yeah, I would be like, again, I appreciate the effort. I'm
stanzaing this wallet and do not stop me.
But that is a very cop-out gift to me. Like, oh, he's a guy. He needs a wallet. Like, no, I have a wallet. I have the wallet that I like. I'm good to go.
The only thing that I wear on my body that is not natural is my wedding ring. And that took some time to get used to. I don't wear a watch. I don't have piercings.
I was going to say something that I can't say on radio. That's another type of ring that you can wear.
Ooh, hey, baby.
Something you can buy at Spartacus.
Hey.
Well, if my wife buys that for me, then it's going to like, oh, I see what you want.
Oh, a big toe ring. I see what you guys are getting.
Yeah, I see what you want. Right. Toe rings are so big these days.
A very girthy toe ring.
Girthy as heck.
Yeah.
Oakley Doakley. Well, we do got a baseball show for you tonight. There's some wild stuff going on in baseball. I'd like to get into the National League wild card race, which is really exciting. There's also a couple teams in the American League that I don't think are going to make the playoffs, but I'd like to give some love to them. Plus, Schultzy, we talked last week. Maybe we need to get into some MVP conversation and why the national narrative of who should win them. Maybe they shouldn't. So I like to get into a lot of that.
Oh, I think I might know where you're going with this.
It has to
do with the former Cleveland Indian. Or Guardian, whatever the hell you want.
He was an Indian.
He was an Indian.
Because we all are, because, you know.
Hey, I am native, so shut up, y'all.
There's a lot to get into today as we come down the stretch for the playoffs and what's going to go down. I love this baseball season. I have no idea who's going to win. I think it's absolutely fantastic. Plus, there's a Hall of Fame pitcher that looks like terrible. Like, will he be left off a roster? Like, there's so much to get into tonight, and we'll do that next. This is the Hot Corner, Portland Sports Leader, 1080 The Fan. 718 here, Portland Sports Leader. Don't you forget it. We are live from the shadows of the historic Fremont Bridge. Vancouver Ford text line 503-864-6326. That bad boy will let you interact with us throughout the entire show. We're also on YouTube. Check that out, youtube.com/1080AM The Fan.
You kids do the YouTube.
We got a lot to get to tonight. MVP races. Why it should be not the front runners. I think that'll be a fun little discussion.
All right, if you say so.
There's a great game on tonight that's probably first pitch is probably underway between Shota Imanaga and the Cubs and Yoshi Yamamoto of the Dodgers. I'm about to put that game on the TV right now. Kirby's on the bump for the Mariners. There's
Battle of the Rising Sun.
There's a lot going on. I know Spaghetti, as me and my buddy like to call him, Arrighetti, the pitcher for the Astros.
Mom's Arrighetti.
Gave up some early to the Oakland Athletics. We got a nice little nighttime baseball bump tonight.
And you know what's the best part about this is that we're not talking about this at 8:15. We're talking about it right now.
Yeah, it's so funny. I actually saw a tweet from Jeff Passan, who was talking about through the month of September. He was like looking at the schedule and also saw the schedule for the postseason in October. And he said every Wednesday night will be a matchup of teams that has something to play for. And I feel like as media people, we should, like us for this show specifically, we should be like, dang, I wish I was on Wednesday so we could watch those games live, the wild card games in October, etc. I'm more excited to talk about them before they happen and then watch them on my own.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that, now granted, we will not get mid-game reactions like from years ago when Patrick Harris was on suicide watch after his Indians were losing to the Yankees.
Yankees, yeah. It was me and Voldemort
Was that game seven?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we got absolutely slaughtered.
We will miss those moments, but at least we'll also have Wednesday nights to enjoy those moments in full. And with our full attention.
And that's what I'm excited about.
Yes.
But as we get closer and closer to the playoffs, guys, I think there's something we have to absolutely talk about right now. And that is, you heard the bump back music. The Mets are currently in the playoffs over the Braves.
Now, this is definitely... Now, I didn't know if it was going to be the Mets... But this was definitely something I felt like was coming after a while as far as the Braves teetering on missing the playoffs. I mean, after the All-Star break, they were falling apart, slowly losing their lead. And then they went on a nice little run a couple weeks ago. But I feel like the point that the Braves are at, this was, I guess, not long overdue, but... is happening later than I anticipated.
It is really interesting to think about the Braves. Now, they have dealt with a ton of injury bug this year.
Yes.
Spencer Strider, Tommy John right at the beginning of the year, Acuna Jr., possibly the highest profile player with another ACL out. Ozzie Albies has missed a bunch of time. I think the most interesting thing with the Braves is some of those position players that they relied on have not been good. Matt Olson has had a really bad year. He's had a really bad year. Where is Austin Riley? Where are these other guys? You know, they got Kelnick, who at the beginning of the year looked like he was kind of going to do something. This team is just
really... And then really, he turned back into Jared Kelnick.
Yeah. This team is just really kind of average. Chris Sale has had the most... I'm going to say it. I've never seen a pitcher at this age of Chris Sale turn out this kind of performance.
Like have a resurgence like this?
Like, the only guy I can think of is Roger Clemens, but clearly we know why he did that.
Yeah.
You know? And so for him to do that, that saves basically your Spencer Strider. But with Matt Olson playing as bad as he has, and Albies being hurt, and Acuna gone, the fact that this team has got to this point and still has a chance is absolutely fascinating to me.
Yeah, I mean, and it is definitely, I think it's, because of the starting pitching with Chris Sale, Ronaldo Lopez as well, coming out of nowhere and having the year that he's had, they've been able to weather
Schellenbach, this. Schwellenbach, if I'm saying that name right.
Ronaldo was removed from tonight's game, by the way.
He was. He only had one inning pitched. His velocity was down. That's a little scary.
And he was injured a couple weeks ago as well. So, that sucks. But again, it's just like... Shocker with the Braves. Theme of their season is everybody is dying, it seems like. So,
but didn't they just pick up the guy from the Dodgers? Gosh, who was let go? Kevin Biggio got there too before that. Like, the Braves have kind of just been picking up a bunch of pieces from everybody.
Well, yeah, they gave, boy, they gave me a call.
Seriously,
they need anybody.
I'll tell you what, Schultzy. If Kevin Biggio moves the needle for you, you are in trouble.
I'm not saying he moves the needle for me. What I'm saying is they are grabbing these scraps off of everybody's heap.
Because right they need anything.
Exactly.
They need anything. Marcell Ozuna has not hit a home run in 3 weeks.
Which is unfortunate because he was absolutely raking to start the year. Bad timing for that to happen.
And guess what's happening? And I know the mainstream media, I don't know, because nobody wants to talk about baseball right now because it's just NFL in college, like thrown down our throats. But the Mets are playing well?
More than
question
well.
Mark?
I mean, what, 9 wins in a row until the other day. The offense is looking awesome. Their pitching staff... I mean, they're starting pitching. It's like, what year is this? 2018? Like,
is Manea, this Matt Harvey's
Quintana,
Syndergaard and Luis, DeGrom?
Luis Severino. Like, it's just like, whoa, hold on. Like, you're doing this with what? Like a total like patched together starting lineup, which is, yeah, I mean, it's kind of crazy to think that they're doing this with these pitchers after what they just had over the last couple of years as far as starting pitching goes.
Their starting pitchers, the highest paid starting pitchers for the New York Mets play for other teams.
Yeah. Seriously, yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if they're still on the hook for some of that money.
And I feel like 6 weeks ago, we sat here and said, yeah, that team's done. And I want to get into some MVP conversations later, so I don't want to talk about it. But, like, the offense is coming through. Frankie Lindor's been amazing. He's been absolutely phenomenal for them. Pete Alonso is doing what Pete Alonso does. Jeff McNeil seems to be kind of doing the grunt work. He reminds me of like a Matt Carpenter kind of guy, like the dude that just gets hits when you need them. And somehow this Mets team is scraping their way into the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, you were besmirching the Grimace Mets.
Without a doubt. I think they were terrible.
Just a couple months ago.
I think they were terrible.
If I'm happy for anybody on this team, I'm most happy for Francisco Lindor because the last couple of years have been rough. As far as him being a Met, like his performance from being a Cleveland Guardian to
Cleveland Indian,
true, to the New York Mets, like there was definitely this is not the same Frankie Lindor anymore.
It's a $30 million a year player.
Yeah. And so he is living up to his payroll this year. Like he has been their batting MVP, hitting MVP. And so I am happy for him.
He's still one of the best defensive shortstops in the National yes. League, if not the entire league.
Yeah. So, I mean, the question is that do they have, I mean, at this point, God, and I know they're just tied for the wild card, but it feels like momentum is on their side and they are going to pull this out and they are going to be the team that ends up on top. And then I just wonder, do they have enough in a three game series for sure. Five game, like if they have to go up against the Dodgers or the Phillies, it's like, I don't know about that then. I mean, it's one of those like, enjoy it while it's happening, Mets fans, because this is fun, but the rubber's going to meet the road here soon.
I'm kind of with you on that. Like, I don't think the Mets are challenging for a World Series by any means, but they look the better team. Like, San Diego and Arizona have clearly separated themselves from everybody as the best teams in the National League that aren't winning their division. Cubs are a little bit, here and there, but they have clearly established themselves as the best non-division winners. So then you're kind of looking at, well, where's that third? And Joe, I agree. Like, the Mets in a wild card, you know, if they play the Diamondbacks in a three-game set, that's must-watch TV.
They play the Brewers.
Now, if they win and then go play the Brewers, I don't know if that's must-watch.
Well, again, I mean, that's potentially who they would face in that first round because you would get Phillies Dodgers with the first round bye, and then the three seed is going to be the Brewers. I mean, mm-hmm. that's how it's – they would be the right final now, division winner. Yep. And then they would play that six seed. And right now it's looking like the Mets are going to be Mets or Braves. But if the Mets are that 60, that would be your first round matchup would be Brewers versus Mets.
And we've seen this Brewers movie before.
Yeah.
It's not pretty.
That's what I'm saying. It's like you give me the Mets and the Brewers first round. It's just like Brewers have had a great year, but playoff Brewer it's much different team.
This Mets team is so fascinating. I think they suck, yet somehow they're good. Somehow they're good. And I don't get it. So that'll be something to absolutely watch for is how does this National League race go?
If you give me 2 seconds, I am curious about the remaining strength of schedule for these two teams. Because what, we got like 17, 18 games left, it looks like.
I mean, that's the big thing for the Mariners fans. Yeah. Mariners fans are looking at their schedule like, we're 3 games back in the wild card, 4 games in the division. Like, we got nobody on the books.
New York. They're playing San Diego right now at 7 against Texas.
Kirby
as well.
Darvish is sexy.
I mean,
that's such a sexy, sexy September game.
Didn't Texas get DeGrom and Scherzer back? Like, who might both have to face Seattle? Like,
Scherzer's done. Game stretch, Scherzer's done for the year. All but right. DeGrom's going to throw on Saturday, and he's going to throw against the Mariners.
Uh oh.
But he's going to throw three, maybe four innings.
So the Mets will finish their series against the Blue Jays tomorrow. After that, they have a series against the Phillies in Philadelphia this week, Washington, but then they end their season with 4-game set against Philadelphia, 3-game set against Atlanta, and that's the second to last series of the season. And then they will actually face the Brewers in the final season or final series of the season.
That's tough.
So they're playing the Phillies 7 more times.
Ouch.
And then they'll have to face the Braves, which that will be a huge series. And then they'll have to finish strong against the Brewers, who could potentially end up being the team that they play in the first round.
And that's where we're all watching. All watching how the rest of the Mets season unfolds. The Braves are, in theory, in control of their own destiny, but so are the Mets.
The Braves do have the quote-unquote easier schedule. They'll finish with Washington tomorrow, but they have a 4-game set coming up against the Dodgers. They'll get Cincinnati, Miami, and then that Mets series, and then they'll have a 3-game set against the Royals to end the year. So,
what did I say at the beginning of the year? The Nationals are not easy.
Yeah, they
got the Yanks.
There might have been someone on this show that said they were going to be the worst team in MLB.
That was not me.
I don't remember. It was so long ago.
Somebody, you know,
somebody said they should have fired Aaron Boone 2 seasons ago. Somebody.
Well, that's the Yankees. The Nationals, I don't remember who said they were going to be the worst team in baseball. They are not the worst team in baseball.
Yeah, again, I don't remember.
I don't know.
You asked me about
not going to work here anymore.
You asked me about my preseason take on the Tigers. I do remember that. But as far as what I said about the Nationals, I don't recall.
And I think that's a fantastic transition right there. There are a couple teams in the American League that I think are not playoff bound, but I think they need a little bit of love. And I'd like to talk about some of those people. We'll do that next. It's the Hot Corner. But first, we'll go to Schultze with sports.
I swear to God, he is the laziest working guy at this. Oh, what's up, Patrick?
Keeping it going. Keeping it rolling. He's back. Hey.
You know, Ryan Buckley will do that to you.
Sorry, I was outside talking to Ryan Buckley.
He's just a disruptor, you know?
I was chatting with Buck, and I asked him if he had ever been to Pullman in December. And Buckley told me that he has never been to Pullman, period. So I told him when Wazoo hosts Oregon in a playoff game in December this year, that I will show him around.
The ayahuasca from Dave still holding on, huh? You're still a little high from that, aren't you?
Hey, John Mateer, dude.
That is a quarterback.
He's going to be the starting quarterback at Clemson next year.
Oh, God.
Or Notre Dame.
Don't do that.
Or Ohio State.
That wouldn't be too bad. I was going to say, don't go to those first two, though. Play for Dabo.
I told him, and I said to Buck, who I love to death, fantastic guy, wonderful human being, and actually one of the hardest working guys here at 10 A The Fan. I said to him, this is the most Wazoo thing in the world. Like, we're going to the playoff. Like, we just blew out Texas Tech. We're going to beat the Huskies next week because I hate those losers. As long as we can get through Boise State on the road, like, we got it. We got it. If we're undefeated, right, come late December, we're in the playoff.
I'm putting my money on Texas State. Go Bobcats, baby.
That quarterback or that running back.
I don't know.
It's the running back at Texas State?
I have no idea. My buddy, who is a disgustingly degenerate gambler and knows every coach, quarterback for every FBS team, he's got me sold on Texas State. I am all aboard the Texas State train now. Toot toot.
I really, really, really love my Wazoo football team this year.
And for now,
I actually feel bad for my Oregon State brethren who have a new coach, a new quarterback, like a bunch of guys left. Like, they're going to have a really tough hill to climb,
especially this Saturday.
And yeah, they got Oregon this Saturday. They get them at home, which is great. And you can hear it right here on 10 A The Fan, but Oregon State's, this isn't me talking trash. They have a larger hill to climb this year. At Wazoo, we already last year knew who the quarterback was going to be the next year. We kept our coach. We paid money for Williams to stay as a wide receiver. Like, we're okay. And we blew out Texas Tech. We beat the Huskies. We survived Boise State on the road. We're going to the playoff. And that's the most Wazoo sentiment I can ever give you.
Yeah, what are we doing here? How did this turn into a Wazoo segment?
It shouldn't.
Sign off on this, all right?
Joe did not. What Joe signed off on, he said this leading into this segment that he talked about the Detroit Tigers. And I want to use this moment to talk about two American League teams that are not going to make the playoffs. They're not that great. But I truly believe that both of these teams are actually building something for the future. That is the Oakland Athletics, and that is the Detroit Tigers. The Detroit Tigers sit three games back from the wild card right now.
Let's go. Okay. Rawr, bitch, rawr.
As a diehard, lifelong, with a little affair in the middle, Cleveland Indians Guardians fan, I hate the Detroit Tigers more than any team in baseball. We always hated Detroit, Minnesota, and Chicago. And the Royals, we never had any problems with them because they were never any good. And when they won in 15, we all looked at them and like, get it. We love you. We're so happy that
you're going to suck again in like two, 3 years.
You're
going
to be super bad. So I'm glad you got a World Series
title. Get it while you can now.
Get it while you can. I, of all those teams, Minnesota, Chicago, and Detroit, I've never hated more of any of them more than I hate Detroit. This team, this Detroit Tigers team, is good.
They're a spunky bunch.
They're good. And it all started with their management hire, and that was A.J. Hinch. Despite being okay with trash cans, A.J. Hinch is a good manager.
Shouldn't be managing.
Probably shouldn't.
Yeah.
But everyone wants to give love to Alex Cora for being this great manager.
Shouldn't be managing.
Or a Craig Council.
Beltran still doesn't have a job, but these guys do. Anyways, I digress.
Carlos Beltran lost his Hall of Fame because he's a loser.
God.
A.J. Hinch was the best hire Detroit could have done. And Tarik Skubal is most likely going to win the Cy Young. I hope he does, unless it's Emmanuel Clase. Depends on how the voters go with reliever versus starter.
Yeah, that's not happening.
We talked about it last week. Yeah. And in ESPN Cy Young projections, is Emmanuel Clase.
Well, the Rolaids Reliever of the Year Award exists now. So
Rolaids.
I don't know if it's still called that. But
I mean, my stomach does hurt.
Is it the Pepto-Bismol Reliever of the Year?
It's great that they got Rolaids for a closer.
Brought to you by Tums. It's what they want.
Because I'm going to die because this game is close and I hate my closer.
It's what they call it in MLB The Show. I think in the NL it's the Trevor Hoffman Award. In the AL it's the Mariano Rivera Award, technically.
So you look at the Detroit Tigers. Tarik Skubal,
brought to you by Alka-Seltzer,
could possibly and probably should win the Cy Young Award. They've decided not to trade him. Riley Green is an up-and-coming guy. This team has been good. Without their best prospect, Spencer Torkelson, I just want to use this moment to give some love to the Detroit Tigers. They have a better chance to make the playoffs than the Seattle Mariners.
Shut up. You're right.
Who have the best starting rotation I've seen since the Braves in the 90s.
Starters don't get you to the playoffs, do they? You need hitters, too.
Or at least some hitters.
No, mediocre starters will get you to the playoffs. You need hitters. The Mariners have proven great starting pitching and no hitting will get you nowhere.
This is a Tigers segment, okay?
But the Tigers have one great starter, some mediocre guys, and a lot of young guys that, like, Colt Keith, nobody was talking about him at the beginning of the year. There's so many dudes that, like, oh, they just kind of had Miguel Cabrera and nobody for so many years. Now under Hinch, you're right, the development is happening. It's actually kind of fun to see, like, in a single season, this team's coming out party.
I'd like to ask you guys a question. Can you name two starting pitchers for the Detroit Tigers?
Other than Tarik Skubal?
No, he counts as one.
Okay.
Can you name a second?
Does Jack Flaherty count, even though he was mid-season trade?
That's
nope.
Not even fair.
Nope. He's on the Dodgers.
Is Wandy Rodriguez still around? I have no idea.
Oh, I know. Kenta Maeda.
Nice.
Oh, duh.
I was hoping you'd pull that out. But he hasn't been great. Yet somehow this Tigers team is still around.
I feel like Jack Flaherty should have counted.
I think the Oakland A's are in the same situation. It's just these teams that were bad have all of a sudden they have good managers that down the stretch have done well. The first four batters for the Oakland A's in the playoffs, you don't want to see that.
The first four batters for the Oakland A's.
Yeah, the top of the lineup.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Butler, like those guys are good.
Langoliers, he's not bad.
Those guys are good. And I think Detroit is living in that same world. And here they are. Detroit almost reminds me a little bit of Houston in 2015. I think Detroit's a little ahead of schedule.
I just need them to win seven more games because then they're going to be above the win total for their 2024 season, which I don't know. I'd have to check the tape. I feel like I took that for them to finish above 80.5. I was high on the Tigers coming into the season. I think my actual quote was they're not going to be as bad as they were in past seasons, and they were terrible. So, our AL Central teams that we kind of had a little bit of faith in this year.
I was the Royals guy.
And then I was taking the Tigers. Like, we both were, I believe we were taking Twins to win the division. We weren't sure about how the Guardians would respond without having Terry Francona. But we both were like, those two teams are going to be better than in years past and going to make this division a little bit more interesting.
I wonder if come
and the White Sox, well, we all knew the White Sox were going to be terrible.
But I wonder if come next year, we're talking about the toughest division in baseball being the American League Central.
I mean, you're going to finish with four teams above 500.
If the season ends right now, let's pretend that Cleveland doesn't win the World Series, the Twins don't win the World Series, the Royals don't, but they all get in. Let's pretend they all don't win the World Series. When we talk about this division next year, who are you picking to take first? Obviously, there's free agent signings, but Detroit might not be a bad pick.
I mean, I still look at the Guardians, and I mean, the starting pitching with the Guardians is the one thing that's going to be the backbreaker. But the thing is they have good starting pitching. It's just, they're just not having a good year. Yeah. I feel like, and they'll get healthier as well. The Royals, it's a matter of, can they replicate what they've done on the pitching staff as well, because it's like almost like a flip flop. It's like you didn't expect the pitchers for the Royals to be this good this year.
Seth Lugo, what up?
I mean, Cole Reagan's great year as well, both all stars.
Michael Wacha.
Yeah. Salvador Perez also on the batting side is just like,
I would like to be in the Hall of Fame. Meet me, I'm Sal Perez.
So I hear you. Like, this division next year is going to be a lot of fun too. This division, what it's doing right now is what we kind of thought the NL Central was going to be like.
Yeah.
We thought that was going to be much more competitive. Well, I know I took the Cubs to win the division.
As did I.
We thought that Brewers are going to have a drop off after losing Council. Kind of said, all right, how about this?
F you.
Yeah, smoke on this. The Cardinals, they've been so inconsistent this year. They teased us for a bit. Pirates.
We got excited about O'Neill Cruz and Ellie De La Cruz, about the kids for Cincy and Pittsburgh.
So the AL Central, I mean, the AL Central, it's been the most, down the stretch here, it's been very intriguing. I remember a couple weeks ago saying to Boss Man Cooley and Kurt Ludwig in the Giant Red Sox pit, Ryan Cooley. I was like, would you believe me if I told you that the Mariners and the Tigers had the same record right now? They're like, what? And I was like, swear to God, look at the standings right now. And I think at that point, it was like I said, 2-3 weeks ago. And that was when the Tigers started making a surge.
And some of that is bad Mariners, but some of that is good Detroit.
Detroit's been playing well. I mean, there was a point in their season where it was starting to look like, okay, this season's starting to fall apart.
All right, when we come back, there's a lot more to get into as we come down the home stretch in September and get closer towards the playoffs. Death by a thousand cuts, but is this one cutting you a little too hard? And does that mean that maybe they don't make the postseason roster? That's Joe Fisher. I'm Patrick Harris. This is the Hot Corner, 1080 The Fan. Coming up in the second hour, we'll dive into some MVP talk. some MVP talk, plus a call up for a team that could really use a spark, and we'll see if that's worthy. But I wanted to get into this real quick as we're talking about playoff teams and how they're all going to get there. You know what's really, really alarming right now, Joe? Is
pets getting eaten. Oh, wait, no.
Haitians, dude.
I love Caribbean jerk.
Apparently, Haitians love Ohio.
Love Ohio, and they love eating cats.
Apparently.
I love eating cats, too.
Cannot confirm nor deny.
In a different way.
Did I just stumble upon to a weird podcast? What the hell did I... What?
Oh, buddy. You have not been following the political landscape lately, have you?
No, I worked in politics and news for like 7 years.
You're like, and I am good.
Yeah, no thanks.
I have eclipsed my limit.
Care more about the Mariners wildcard race than the presidential debate tonight. And continue.
Something that I find quite alarming for a team that, you know, Joe, I think you coined this phrase. I don't know if the national media has it, but at least on this stupid show, you coined the phrase of the Houston Astros, death by a thousand cuts.
I'll take it.
We've been saying it for years.
I'll stake my claim.
You think they're out of it, and then all of a sudden they climb back in. Kyle Tucker's out for 2 months. Doesn't matter because Yordan Alvarez starts hitting bombs, and some kid gets called up, and some pitcher gets caught with substance, but it doesn't matter because he won the game that he pitched in, blah, blah, blah. Is it a true concern if you are an Astros fan about what you've seen from Justin Verlander of late?
Is it a concern? Yeah, I mean, yeah, because you were hoping that he would be one of the arms to push you over the top towards a World Series run, but also you were kind of on this upward trajectory and then you got him. So there's part of me that's like...
Like he was hurt for a while and you made it and now he's back.
Yeah. And then it's just like, wow, it'd be nice if he would play a little bit better. You know, maybe our lead would be a little bit higher and we'd feel more comfortable about our chances. But that is part of it, right? It's like going into the playoffs, you want three starters, four starters where you can just bank on that. I'm going to have these guys ready to go for the playoffs. These are going to be my three guys, four guys, whatever I roll with. And you were hoping he would be that third or fourth arm for you. And so far, he is not Justin Verlander of old. He is old Justin Verlander.
His last five starts, 4 earned runs, 2, 4, 5, and 8.
Not bueno.
Not bueno. So the question, I think, and I think this is the question that everybody's asking.
Muy mal, as they say.
Yeah, this is the question that everybody's asking. Are you concerned enough about Verlander that not only is he not going to be a starter in the playoffs, but not even on the roster? Is that your level of concern right now? Or do you think that Verlander gets the credit that you put him on the roster and maybe bring him in a la Madison Bumgarner?
I mean, at this point...
A la Clayton Kershaw?
I don't know if he is one of your... He's not one of your three best starters.
No, because you're going to go with Spaghetti, as we call him.
Well, Framber.
Framber, obviously.
Hunter Brown. And then Ronel Blanco.
Blanco. I mean, Blanco's been great if he's not getting caught for cheating.
I mean, those are your three. And then, yeah, you go with Mom's Arrighetti. And then you have him as your fourth. So, I mean, like, at this point... Unless Verlander is able to...
Can you bring Verlander in the sixth and say throw gas?
I don't know if he, like, I don't know if he can. Like, that's something he has, like, never done.
Right, but he is... One thing that I will always give Verlander credit for, which is why he's 38, 39, and still throwing in the league and won a Cy Young a couple years ago, he will adapt. He has always adapted. You know, when he was young, he was a fastball guy, and then he got older and he started throwing junk, and he became really, really good at it. Is this just the next stage of Verlander that he's a starter in the regular season, and then you get to the playoffs, and it's like, hey, man, I need you to get it two outs in the sixth. Can you do it? And can he do it? That's the question.
Well, that's the, I mean, that, and that is kind of a tough part, is the whole, can he do it? Like, the fact that we have to ask, can he do it?
Like, that already raises red flags.
Yeah, that's to me where it's just almost like, roll out there with those four guys that I mentioned, and then if in dire situation you for some reason need to throw Verlander at this point, because he seems that either something's lingering.
Sure.
Or he's just old.
Or he's just done.
Yeah, and yeah. It's just like at that point, like, do you find that out next year? And you go into next year with a, you shut him down, you don't have him on the playoff roster, you bring him next season, and then if it's the same thing where he's just getting shelled and he is like, okay, he's done. And then at that point, he might even say it like, I'm done. Like, I'm gonna get to the end of the year and, you know, call it at that point.
We see that with Kershaw in LA.
I mean,
Kershaw's done.
He might, and then, I mean, Verlander, he might say something in the offseason where, like, next year's going to be my last year, and then they do the, you know, farewell tour for him. But I don't know. If you want to win a World Series this year and you've made all this progress for the Astros, do you want to risk that? To me, I think it's risking it, putting Verlander out there with the way he's looked recently. If he can string together a couple starts here by the end of the year that turns the tide and you're like, oh yeah, he's had three starts now of giving up three earned or less, four earned or less, or something like that, just serviceable starts. And then as we've seen with the playoffs too, it's like these starts get shorter. Guys are getting pulled after 4 1/3,
right?
You know, 5 1/3,
going
maybe
straight to the bullpen.
Yeah. So if you can get a few, 3 to 4 serviceable, I mean, he might not even get 4 starts by the end of the year. We've got like 18 games left. If you can get like 3 just good starts out of him by the end of the year, then I think you're going to feel much better about including him on the playoff roster. Because, I mean, you'll need a, I would assume you would want a 5th starter on the roster.
Yeah, yeah. Once you get to the playoffs, I mean, that the benefit of Houston is they don't need Verlander.
Yeah.
But so, if they have him, that's a game changer.
What if it's just one of those when it gets to play? Wouldn't you be shocked you get the playoff time and he just turns it on? And
because
it's
Justin Verlander. And he's a first ballot Hall of Famer.
7 innings strong.
Yeah, 7 innings, yeah. 8 Ks, 3 hits, yeah. No runs. I think Verlander is the biggest wild card of any pitcher of any playoff team.
For the sake of time, you include him on the playoff roster if you
I think
need
you
him.
Do. You have
I mean,
to.
You got to. And then, hell, if they win a World Series, that makes it easier for him to be like, I'm done.
Adios, my wife's
See
hot.
You guys. Yeah.
All right, we got a loaded second hour coming up for you. We got a call up, and will that do something for a dire need in left field for a World Series contender? Plus, I've got a lot of MVP thoughts that we'll get into. We'll do all that next. Loaded second hour. Don't go anywhere. Hot Corner, Portland sports leader, Today the Fan.
Now you're kissing Chase Utley and that's it.
Why are you pushing Chase Utley on me? It's starting to get weird.
This is the Hot Corner.
Okay, look, I have a plan, all right? And it involves you getting this letter to him when you got out there to kiss him. Now, I have given this to Major League Baseball, his lawyer, his manager, his mom, and he has not gotten back to me, which means he hasn't gotten it yet. So just...
Did you write a love letter to Chase Utley?
With Patrick Harris and Joe Fisher.
In a lot of ways, yes, I do love him, but that is not a love letter in the way that you're thinking of it, okay? There's nothing sexual or...
Okay. That sounds good. I'm gonna read it. Dear Chase, they're stickers. Yeah. My God.
On the Odyssey app.
Dear Chase, I feel like I can call you Chase because you and me are so much alike. I would love to meet you someday. It would be great to have a catch. I know I can't throw as fast as you, but I think you would be impressed with my speed. Did you have a good relationship with your father? Me neither.
And 1080.
These are all things we can talk about and more. I am sure our relationship would be a real home run.
The Fan.
Welcome into the second hour of the Hot Corner. You're missing the first hour. You can download that at the Fan Podcast at 1080thefan.com, the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts, including a place that rhymes with Schmishmortify. A lot we got into the last hour. I've got on the tube, Dodgers, Cubs, Imanaga Yamamoto. That is a sexy matchup just based on starting pitchers, but also the Japanese connection plus Shohei. It's been really fun kind of seeing the videos of the three of them interacting, and that's really cool. They got mad respect for each other. That's really fun.
I might have stated this on the show, but it might have been on Sunday's show. I will be at Dodger Stadium v. the Padres on September 27th, and there is a chance, if the stats line up right, that I could be there for Shohei's breaking the 50-50 mark. So,
and the 50-50.
Very excited for
the 50-50.
And then you will streak onto the field, butt-ass naked.
You better run on the field, Schultzy.
With just a 50-50s. Sock over it. He's just socking it.
Just Anthony Kiedis, Red Hot Chili Peppers, like no clothes and a sock over the dun-dun-dun.
I don't have a sexy body like Anthony Kiedis, though.
That's your the best fleet. Part.
I think that is what works in your favor.
Yeah, okay. That's what the people want to see.
Well, I can't like hop over the fence like some of those really athletic dudes in these videos.
It's like so. The Olympics. Like, we're tired of seeing these studs. We want the average
guy. You want the everyman, yeah.
Going up against them to see how we line up. And you are that on Shohei's 50-50.
I'd give max effort, that's for damn sure.
And then get absolutely hit stick by like a 265-pound just rip security guard. Yeah.
Well, if it was the home
Terry
run.
Terry Tating your ass.
Oh, God, screw that. If it was the home run, there's going to be a fight, massive fight in the outfield for that. And I'm sitting like way away in this 200 level, so kind of glad that I'm not even going to be near it.
I have decided not to talk about Shohei potentially 50-50 because I want to see it first. I don't think it's that great to sit here and say, well, can he do it? Will he? Of course he can do it. Of course he can do it. There's enough time. Of course he can do it. I want to see it first, and then I'll talk about it. Okay.
What's he at? 46?
46 and 45, I believe. 46 and 47, I believe.
Ooh. Four. So he needs four home runs in like 18 games. He's going to do it.
Yeah.
Lock it in.
And we'll get there when he does it. But like we've said with Aaron Judge, I was still on this show with Voldemort. Can Judge get to 62? And that month, we previewed it, we highlighted it, we even cut to in-game during our show to see if we did it. In fact, we cut to in-game.
You must have a good producer to do that.
I was producing primetime, and in the club hour, we cut to live Judge hitting 62. I was there for that. Judge is a struggle when it comes to this. It's clearly on his brain. Shohei, I don't know. So I've decided we're not going to do it until they do it.
Like, well, Judge is not going to get to 62.
Judge will not get to 62 or 63.
It reminds me of MLB The Show. My player, he was going to set the single season record, and it just got in my head. I started swinging at everything, and then by the season's end, I got to like 66, 67, something like that. No, I think I got to 70. I don't know, but I couldn't do it. Too much pressure I put on myself to perform.
Dude, 70 is the record.
No,
most home runs hit in a single season is 62 by Aaron Judge.
Oh, I see what you're doing there. Yeah, well, MLB The Show says something different.
I actually,
in fact, they don't even have him in MLB The Show. It says like in the records,
it says the Giants,
San Francisco Giants, 73 single season.
Well, you know why, right?
Because he is an abomination to the game.
Because Bonds is like Griffey.
No, Barry Bonds is famously not a part of the Players Association. Griffey was. That's like, never the problem.
But
Barry,
not in those early games. That's why Ken Griffey Jr. Baseball was created, because Griffey was not in those old video games.
Oh, yeah. Not like the ones in the 90s. But then by the time, you know, EA started making them, he was. But
it was like Bill Belichick in Madden. Belichick was never in any of the Madden games.
He never signed on to it?
No. Wow. It was always some random dude as the coach for the Patriots.
Actually, speaking of that, one little tiny thing to add to this rabbit hole. You notice MLB The Show, I'll finish up. MLB The Show never gets the new managers the next year. They always have to wait a year because for some reason, like, affording the license on that guy just is too expensive, apparently. But yeah, so very random faces.
A really fun story that I'll tell you and then we'll get out on that is I remember I was competing to win Hunt for the Host. I had not won yet. And I was brought on to primetime. And my good friend Isachi asked me the all-time home run leaders in baseball. He said, you're a baseball fan, right? And I was like, yeah, big time baseball. Like, that's my sport. And he said, okay, well, let's put you on the spot. I'm on the air. It's like 5:30. I'm on the air. And I say, what do you got? And he says, I need you to name the top five most home runs hit of all time. And I said, well, that's easy. Number one's Hank Aaron. Number two is Babe Ruth. Number three, I think at the time, was Jim Tomey. And number four was Griffey. And Isaac stopped me and he was like, wait, wait, wait. Like, you're missing people. And Suit goes, you don't see what he's doing?
Yeah, it was good. I know what he's doing.
Suit goes, you don't see what he's doing? And that's how I live. So most home runs hit in a single season is 62 by Aaron Judge. Most home runs all time is Ham, is the hammer, and that's how we do it.
Oh yeah, you'll do some mescaline out at the gorge, but shame on anybody doing steroids.
It's ayahuasca, Joe. Quit mixing things around.
My bad, peyote.
Oh, I can't afford peyote. Sounds fun, though. All right, when we come back, I do want to get into some MVP conversation and why maybe the front runners should not be the MVPs. We'll do that next. Hot Corner, 1080 The Fan. We got Fair Foul coming up here in about 15 minutes. Everybody's favorite. We do that every single week at the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. IT Joey just stepped into the booth. It's absolutely fantastic to see him as somebody that sits here late at nights on Tuesdays. I don't see a whole lot of people.
And he is a enabler for my fix of energy drinks.
Yeah.
Yeah, there are some
He's
days.
He's the enabler.
Oh, yeah. There are some days where I don't bring enough of them. I don't have that extra one in the fridge, and I see he is well stocked.
I thought three was good, but it was clearly a 4-day, no. And Joey hooks you
He's
up.
He's the one that has 3 to 4 ready to go at all times. And then I'll just kind of meander into his office and be scratching my neck and be like, hey, man, can I get one of those AMs? Can I get one of those Mountain Dew energy drinks, please? Come on, baby.
Oh, baby.
Come on, baby.
So it was good to see him.
Ooh, funky.
We'll do Fair or Foul here in about 10 minutes, but I wanted to get into this. I saw something today on the internet, and it was interesting. I'm a Reddit kid, so I get most of my information from Reddit.
The internet's front page.
If I don't watch it live, like, you know, when it comes to sports and things that I like, I watch them live, so I don't have to get it from Reddit. But I saw this great thing that somebody posted and said, I'll just leave it here for you to see. And it pertained to the MVP voting.
Oh, God. We're doing this.
We are doing this because I think this was a fair thing that was said. This was a Royals fan.
Oh.
Obviously biased.
Come on.
And they admitted their bias, but they showed some stats. And they said Bobby Witt Jr. has 34 home runs. Aaron Judge has 51 home runs. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
If Bobby Witt Jr. played every one of his games in Yankee Stadium,
oh,
he would have 38 home runs,
okay,
instead of 31.
We're doing the would it dong, huh?
Right. We know the short porch and right. We know how Yankee Stadium is built, et cetera, et cetera. If Bobby Witt Jr. played his every 162 in Yankee Stadium, he would have 38 home runs instead of 31. And then they did that for Aaron Judge, who has 51 home runs.
If he played in Kauffman?
If Aaron Judge played 162 in Kauffman Stadium, he would have 38 home runs.
Oh, dear God.
The same amount as Bobby Witt Jr.
Ouch.
And if you look at every stat outside of home runs, Bobby Witt Jr. wins.
I know.
And who's the better defender?
He has a better war.
It's Bobby Witt.
Well,
Judge is a good outfielder.
I was going to say. Like,
Judge is a very good outfielder. Yeah. There's not
the fact that a man of his size is playing the field at all.
Like, agreed.
Usually a dude that is a 6'8 Herman Munster lookalike is
usually just DHing all the time.
And they normally have him in right, but he has to play center because Soto's in right. I agree. Judge is a really solid center fielder.
The one thing I'll kind of poke a hole in that whole switch the ballpark argument is that, okay, so if Judge was, if Witt was playing in a more homer-friendly park, he would still have the same home runs as Judge.
Yes.
Which means that Judge, like, if they would both have 38 home runs.
Right.
So.
But I think that's actually more indicative of Judge. That Yankee Stadium has given him 13 more home runs.
Yeah, but it's, again, they would still be tied.
Right.
In this hypothetical situation.
And if they were tied at 38, Bobby Witt beats him in stolen bases. Bobby Witt beats him in batting average. Bobby Witt beats him as defensive.
Has a better war.
Has a better war. Bobby Witt Jr. is the second best defensive shortstop in baseball right now, behind Frankie Lindor.
I will say, the last couple of weeks have not done Aaron Judge any favors.
Right. So
13 straight games without a home run after hitting two against Rockies on that Sunday.
So it just leads me to this fun conversation that we have all the time. Like, let's remember, Alex Rodriguez's MVPs that he won in Texas, and they didn't make the playoffs, and they were terrible, but he hit 50 home runs and 1,000 RBIs. And that's why he won MVPs. So you start talking about what's a true MVP. We talk about this in basketball all the time. The true MVP in basketball, 90% of the time over the last 20 years, should be LeBron James. But he doesn't win them all because it's like, okay, it's Russell Westbrook's turn. It's James Harden's turn. It's blah, 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 Giannis, fill in the blank. But in baseball, they just kind of give it to Judge because he has 51 home runs and he's batting 330. But I asked this
That's
question.
Pretty damn good.
But I asked this question. The Kansas City Royals are about to go to the playoffs because of Bobby Witt. Is Bobby Witt not more valuable than Judge is?
So this is where I hear you, and it's like, let's, you know, do the whole take them off the team. What does that team look like? The Yankees probably competing for a wild card.
And what's funny is this is where I actually blow this whole thing up and become a terrible host, is if you take Judge off the Yankees, they're terrible.
See, I mean, they still have Soto.
He's just as valuable to them as Bobby is to the Royals, because the Royals have Sal.
But if you take Witt off of the Royals,
they're done.
Yeah, they are nothing.
They're done.
Are what they've been the last couple of years, granted with Witt, but I mean, he wasn't having the past 2 years like he is right now.
I mean, that's a different argument, though. I think this speaks more to kind of the uniqueness of baseball, and it's like, what, the only sport out of any that I can think of that has unique parks to a city. You know, every single basketball court is the same. Portland, Miami, you know, you're playing a Heat game, you're playing a Blazers game. Those courts are the same
exact dimensions.
But Aaron Judge is very, very valuable to the Yankees, but because of the park that he's in, that adds more value. And I'm assuming that's boosting Juan Soto's numbers, it's boosting Giancarlo's numbers, and it's why I think Adrian Beltre long ago had that bounce back season, because he was with the Red Sox for that 1 year. He had that short porch in left field in the Green Monster.
Right.
He hit like 330.
And it's a short and right, too.
Yeah, and it's short and right. So he had like 330-something with like 30 homers and got that massive deal in Texas. So those two parks specifically, Yankee Stadium though here, yeah, it really increases those numbers, and Witt might hit 60 there.
And that's what I'm curious about. As we live in baseball, where we have all these deep dive sabermetric stats that we can really get into things.
Are you looking at my screen right now?
Because
I'm
not.
I'm literally trying to find the stat that equates into like the park factors.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah, well. Yeah.
Because there is a specific individual stat that kind of plays into everything, as far as, yeah, park, where they're playing, that I'm totally spacing on what it is, but there is something like that.
And if you're a top defender, like Bobby Witt Jr. is probably in the top five defensive shortstops in all of baseball. Okay. He's not one, he's not two, but he's in probably the top five. Judge, as a defensive center fielder, who's pretty good, top 10, So, like, that narrows that gap as well. The Royals were left for dead at the beginning of the season. They're about to make the playoffs. It comes back to the conversation that everybody hates, but it has to come up, is what's the true meaning of the word valuable?
Usually it's a great team.
Judge is the best.
Yeah.
But I would argue Bobby's the most valuable. I'll slide over to the National League right now real quick. Shohei is the best. Who's the most valuable player in the National League? It's not even close. The answer is Francisco Lindor. Without Francisco Lindor, the Mets are nothing.
Now, I will say, and I found the stat that I was trying to come up with. It's the weighted runs created plus.
I'd love to see that.
Now, what that doesn't take into account is defense. It is what,
and that's fine.
And what you are doing as far as the bat goes.
I mean, so. Shohei is about to win an MVP for the first time as a DH. Like, nobody's done that. I'm okay with defense not being a metric. I think defense should be a tiebreaker, not necessarily a metric.
I think defense in the bigs is easier than hitting in the bigs. It's just hitting is hard in the bigs.
Andrelton Simmons is one of the best defensive shortstops I've ever seen in my entire life. His career batting average is .225.
Exactly. There's a lot of guys like him.
Omar Vizquel should be in the Hall of Fame if he didn't hit his wife.
That's fair.
What you got, Joe?
Whoa, we got dark there.
I'm just proving that. The reason everybody loves Ozzy is because of his defense.
Yeah, and I mean, there is something about playing shortstop, but there's also something about playing center field, too. I mean, in
paging Mickey Mantle, Willie Mays,
and telling someone to play a different position as well, moving him from right to center. So, I mean, if you were to look at the weighted runs created, it's Judge. He's
interesting.
What is his WRC plus?
.214.
Damn.
I mean, Bobby Witt is tied for fifth.
So he's up there. He's close.
Yeah, I mean, it's Aaron Judge. I mean, Juan Soto second. Yordan Alvarez is third. Shohei, this is both leagues. So Shohei's fourth. He leads the NL. I mean, Brent Rooker has the same weighted runs created as
anybody's
Bobby
OPB
Witt.
That's up there is going to be up there in the WRC plus.
Yeah. I mean, weighted on base average. Bobby Witt's second, Bobby Witt's third, Juan Soto second, Judge is first. So, I mean, he is having an MVP-like year. It just so happens that it's happening the same time as Aaron Judge is having just as good of a season.
I love that you showed me those stats because that pulls me back. Because at first I was kind of like, well, maybe Bobby Witt should be the MVP. But as you show me those stats, then Judge will take it.
Well, and I'm looking now.
And actually think if the Yankees didn't have Judge, and if they had Soto doing what Soto's doing right now, I still think the Yankees would be bad.
I think they'd be at least in contention for a wild card. Whereas I think
they would not be fighting for a division.
No. But wild card, maybe the last one, yes. The Royals, if they didn't have Bobby Witt Jr., they would be nothing.
They'd be gone.
Yeah. I mean, they'd have a couple good pitchers, but.
Is that not an MVP?
Damn it, Patrick.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
And Judge has a better war by .1. And I know we got to go.
.1. All right, we'll get out of here. It's Fair or Foul next. We'll do that next Hot Corner. But first, there's Schultzy with sports.
Is it fair or is it foul?
Fastball tapped at the plate. It'll trickle down the third baseline. The Mariners are going to let it roll, 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 roll.
A knowledge test to see how well they know the big leagues.
Lenny Randle gets down on his hands and knees and blows on it like a curler, and it goes foul.
And what our distinguished hosts think about the stories that popped up around the big leagues.
But he got down on his hands and knees and literally blew the ball across the foul line.
This is Fair or Foul on the Hot Corner on 1080 The Fan.
All right, this is everybody's favorite. This is Fair or Foul. We do it every single Tuesday at the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. Without further ado, we'll turn this over to our fantastic producer, Schultzy.
Appreciate you guys. Let's try to stump you. Got some good ones tonight. Even a tribute to the great James Earl Jones. Rest in peace, one of our questions.
Oh.
Lost him this week at the age of 93. But very, very important, prominent figure even in baseball.
Do you know that he sold his voice to Disney
yes.
for AI of anything in the future of Darth Vader, they can AI his voice for Darth Vader. I thought that was really rad. As much as we're all a little scared and anti-AI, I thought that was cool because Vader will always be James Earl Jones.
You know, James, we just want you to do the voice.
That cutaway in Family Guy is great.
Family Guy bit.
No, really quickly.
I don't know.
You don't do the Family Guy.
I think that show sucks.
Well, dude, you're wrong.
Dang it. To go down a rabbit hole, I actually do think that there are, I love that you brought that up, there are like select few, because AI is scary, and to keep somebody alive after they're gone, I think is a little, it's pretty crappy for the family, pretty crappy for themselves, but there is a handful, like James Earl Jones. I feel like, you know, your favorite baseball team, John Shepard for the Yankees. Like, he, if he would have been here later, maybe he would have done this to keep the public address announcements in the stadium sounding the same for Yankees.
If I could watch a Mariners game and it's Dave Niehaus,
exactly.
Like, I'd be, you know.
There's like, everyone's like, oh, so scared everyone's going to do this. But it's like, shut up. There's only like a few hundred people we'd really want this for. So, anyways, I love that you brought that up. We'll get to our James Earl Jones question here shortly. But we'll start off with some pitching, y'all. We talked about it, actually, at least one of these guys in the first hour, Tarik Skubal. Tarik Skubal. Tarik Skubal. I just watched
Tarik.
I've got some family. It is a very traditional Muslim name.
Thank you.
Tarik.
I apologize. Tarik. I just need
is,
to.
Is he
get
Muslim?
It right.
I don't know, yeah. but it is. He no, all his family are all T's. It's alliteration. We went through this last week, I think.
I think we did.
But Tarik is the traditional pronunciation.
But Tarik Skubal and Chris Sale both having amazing years for their respective teams. Maybe more surprising, Chris Sale. But fair or foul, guys, Chris Sale and Tarik Skubal are on pace to be the first pitchers to win the Triple Crown, the pitching Triple Crown in both leagues, in the same season since 1924.
And the pitching Triple Crown is ERA, strikeouts, and innings pitched?
Wins. Which is an ancient stat.
Ooh, but wins is tough.
Yeah.
I feel like Sale's got probably the wins. I mean, the Tigers are competing for the playoffs right now. I will say foul only because I think Skubal's missing the wins. I think Skubal's actually missing the strikeouts. Or Sale. Yeah, I'll say foul. I don't think they got all of them.
You guys are totally missing.
I'm all over the place on this.
Because I said since 1924. Has it happened since then?
Wait. Say the question again.
Said fair foul. Chris Sale and Tarik Skubal are on pace to be the first pitchers to win the Triple Crown in both leagues in the same season since 1924. Fair or foul?
Oh.
Has it happened?
Well, we might be forgetting old Rusty Nuts Johnson from 1914 or something like that.
No, yeah. Since 20, that would be before 1924, you dink.
Or on his knees, Big Johnson. You know, like, forget him.
Yes. Or some racist nickname that was given to a Cleveland Spider at some point.
I love that you did that.
Go look up some of the names, and you'll know what I'm talking
pretty
about.
Rough. Yeah.
The
pretty
fact
rough.
That a grown man went by the name Pee-wee Reese, like, it, yeah, but just moving on.
I'll still say foul, but I hope I'm wrong.
He's got ERA.
Yep.
I'm kind of leaning with Patrick as that wins. I'm just trying to think of who else
wins
in the American League. And then ERA, Chris Sale, I mean, I don't know if Ronaldo Lopez qualifies not or not because he's been injured a little bit, but he's definitely has the ERA. He's got like a 2.07 or something.
I mean, I think
like
Paul Skeens might have a better ERA than Chris
Sale.
That's
quite possible also. I'm going to say foul. I think Sale, ERA, he does not have that. I think he's still like almost a whole run away from that. And then wins for Tarik Skubal.
You guys are actually both wrong. It is, well, no, technically. What did you guys say? Did you both say foul?
Said foul.
Well, yeah. All right, you are right, but for the wrong reasons. How about that?
We just didn't get the right stat right.
Yeah, that's why I'm saying you are wrong, because they actually are on pace to both win this year's Triple Crown pitching-wise. Chris Sale has the best ERA in all of baseball with a 2.38, actually. Over the next closest is Zach Wheeler with 2.59 for the Phillies. But is
Logan Gilbert right behind him on that?
Logan Gilbert is all the way down at 3.15, ooh, unfortunately. He's he had a bad game like 2-3 weeks ago, I think. But yeah, actually, Sale also leading the way in strikeouts with 213 and leading the way with wins at 16, tied with Skubal, who leads the American League at 2.53 ERA, as well as 208 strikeouts. So
it's funny, like, I hate the win. Like, the win doesn't matter anymore,
yeah, you're
as,
right.
as you said earlier, Schultzy. But it's, I guess I didn't realize that Sale was that high in strikeouts.
For sure.
216?
Probably.
You know,
I
mean,
the Braves are
people
doing so well.
Used to say back in the day, if you got 300 strikeouts in a season, that was automatic Cy Young.
Oh my God, you're right.
And the fact that all those stats have gone down, but he is at 216, that's more impressive than I realized.
It's up to Skubal, or excuse me, not Skubal. It's up to Seth Lugo to get more wins. He has 16 as well. And then as far as strikeouts, it's Sale, Skubal 1 and 2, and then Cease at 205. He's got 8 less strikeouts than Sale. Cole Reagans has 4 less strikeouts than Skubal.
I love that you said Dylan Cease. Dylan Cease might have the most unrememberable, amazing season we've seen this year.
He's been awesome.
He's been really good, and we'll forget about him in the analogs.
By the way, back in 1924, it was Dazzy Vance and Walter Johnson, I believe, that
well,
won
Walter
both
Johnson, and there's a plaque in
yes,
Cooperstown
there is.
Of Walter Johnson.
Well, and this was his age 36 season, and he was 23-7, and he went, what is this, like... 23-7, 2.72 ERA, 158 strikeouts at the age of 36, and won the MVP that year as well. But actually, it was done in 2011. Justin Verlander and Clayton Kershaw did it.
There
won,
you go.
Won the pitching Cy Young. All right, fair foul number two. Francisco Lindor leads all of MLB in hits for the last 30 days. Fair or foul, Francisco Lindor leads all of MLB in hits for the last 30 days.
Oof. I'm going to say fair, because I feel like as the Mets have been on fire, as has Francisco Lindor, and honestly, I can't think of anybody else off the top of my dome that is playing as well. And that just sounds like, again, that matches up with the Mets' performance recently. He's been playing great. So I'm going to say fair.
I'm going to ride with Joe on this. I'm going to say fair as well. And mostly because, look, we had this really cool moment of shortstops. Carlos Correa, Corey Seager, Frankie Lindor. We had this moment where it was like, are we going to do this Jeter, Tejada, Nomar thing again? A-Rod, like, are we going to do this again where we've got a new brand of shortstops? And we started, and a lot of those dudes faded. You know, Correa's been hurt for a little bit. Once he left Houston, he wasn't as great. Corey Seager is more of like a Carlos Beltran in the sense that if you get in the playoffs, Corey Seager will absolutely destroy you. But regular season, not as amazing, although I really, really love Corey Seager's defense. Frankie Lindor is the best shortstop in baseball. And the reason I am agreeing with Joe and saying fair is because there was a couple years where I was worried that Frankie was not good, and not actually good. And I think he's had such an amazing year that if I had to vote for MVP, I would vote for Frankie Lindor. I'll say fair. I love Frankie.
It's foul, but just because it's a close no cigar situation here. He has 34 hits over the last 30 days compared to San Diego Padres second baseman Luis Arraez with 36.
Two-time batting champ. Yeah. That might win it again.
Damn you, Arraez,
still
again.
Still getting out of his booty, dude. All right, guys, here is our tribute to James Earl Jones. Fair or foul? The great man that played Darth Vader, and actually I think one of only 27 EGOT winners, Grammy, Tony, Oscars.
Grammy,
Emmy.
Tony, Oscar, Emmy. That's the EGOT.
That's crazy. 27 people ever. He was one of them.
James Earl Jones once did a performance for this August Wilson play called Fences.
Yes.
I know August Wilson because I actually studied him in college.
Is that the movie that Denzel Washington was in?
Denzel,
they
just put that out. Denzel actually played the son and the father on Broadway. He played the son 20 years ago.
Ah.
And then played the father 20 years later on Broadway. It is an absolutely amazing play. August Wilson, one of the best American playwrights ever. And
what would you
the
know?
Father of the father in that show is James Earl Jones.
That is so cool.
That's how he made his bones.
Damn. All right, guys. Well, here you go. James Earl Jones tribute. So
theater major my ass.
Fair, historian.
Fair or foul. Hey, one of the cool things about being a theater or music major is you can take adjacent classes like that and learn cool things.
Theater history.
Yes, sir. Fair or foul. James Earl Jones was in 4 baseball movies throughout his career. Fair or foul. James Earl Jones was in 4 baseball movies throughout his career, guys.
Sandlot. Field of Dreams. Blank and blank. I don't know what the other two are. If there are 2 more.
I think I heard this earlier. I think the answer is 3.
What's the third? Is it League of Their Own?
No, he's obviously Field of Dreams, Sandlot. And then the other was some baseball movie.
Sandlot 2?
That I had never heard
straight
of.
Straight to DVD?
That I'd never heard of. But I'm pretty sure there wasn't a 4th. I will say foul. I'm pretty sure it's 3.
I will align myself with Patrick Harris on this. I will also say 3, but that's also because I don't know what the 3rd or 4th would be. So.
I mean, you were kind of close, guys. Unfortunately, it is fair. He was in 4 movies, but Joe, you did jokingly say The Sandlot 2, and that is correct because he actually was. He reprised his character, James Earl Jones did, in The Sandlot 2.
He lived during that from Sandlot 1 to 2?
Straight to DVD 05 sports comedy film. He was in that. So he was in The Sandlot 2, obviously The Sandlot, Field of Dreams. But the one that Patrick could not name is the Bingo Long Traveling All-Stars and Motor Kings. And it's that movie from 76. It's about a team of ex-Negro League baseball players in the era of racial segregation, starring Billy Dee Williams, James Earl Jones, Lando Richard Calrissian. Pryor. Like, this was a star-studded cast. So.
So let me ask you.
No, I haven't seen Sandlot 2.
In Sandlot 1, it's almost like a cameo, right? They go to get the ball, and then they go get him, and it's James Earl Jones, and you're like, whoa.
Hey, that's James Earl Jones.
To where Field of Dreams, he's there the whole show.
Yeah, movie.
What's more impactful, and we grew up with Sandlot, is his role in the Sandlot more impactful to us, not movie in history, but to us, is Sandlot more impactful for James Earl Jones, or is Field of Dreams more
for
impactful?
Us? Yes, but I would say that you remember his monologue about baseball from Field of Dreams more than any line that he had in Sandlot. You just know that he was the blind old dude that owned Beast, and you can't like.
And he played with Babe Ruth.
Yeah. Like, you know his, like, little backstory of his movie, but the whole monologue that he has from Field of Dreams is, like, iconic.
Yeah, if The Sandlot, for me, like, Art LaFleur is Babe Ruth in the vision of Benny the Jet Rodriguez saying, "Legends never die, kid." For me, that's, like, one of the more iconic moments in that movie. Yeah. So.
And I think what's funny, like, Joe, you mentioned it, like, his monologue about baseball is... His monologue about baseball and Crash Davis in Bull Durham talking about baseball are 2 of my favorite monologues about baseball of all time in movies. My actual favorite moment of Field of Dreams is when James Earl Jones decides to walk into the cornfield to disappear with them, and he kind of looks back and he just smiles and laughs. And then disappears. And the fact that you can be that impactful without saying anything, that's acting. That's acting.
Acting!
All right, guys, I took up enough time. Well, no more time for our Mariners queue. We'll leave that for next week.
All right, that'll do it. We come back, we'll wrap this bad boy up. It's the Hot Corner, Portland Sports Leader, it's Any of the Fan. All right, that'll do it for us. We'll be back next week as the playoff race heats up. We'll keep checking in. The Mariners only 3 games back from the wild card. Can the Tigers make a run? What's going on in the American League East? Who's going to win that division? Yankees, Orioles?
Oh, you know, baby.
Who knows? Plus the National League wild card of Braves.
Ca-caw!
Braves, Mets, who knows? Nobody knows. So we'll see you next week. That'll do it for us. That's Joe Fisher, Schultzy on the ones and twos. I'm Patrick Harris. Go do something I would do.